Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap'n Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Albert Breer's our guy. We love talking football with him every Tuesday at 8 a.m. And the football is always in the news, and we'll get to it in just a moment. Albert, good morning. So did you have the electric slide, or what songs at your wedding did you have?
I honestly don't really remember. We had a band, and I know what our wedding song was, but I don't really remember all the specifics, because that whole 2-3 month period leading up to the wedding was a series of me just saying yes and writing checks.
Yes.
And by the time you get to the end of it, it was the whole thing kind of melds together, and it's just all right, I don't even want to have a discussion about any of this stuff anymore, so I'll just let things happen however they're going to happen.
Yeah, at some point you get to, I'm just trying to get to the honeymoon. That's all I care about. At some point, just let's get to this wedding. Let's just get on the plane.
Yeah, and that, honestly, that's the best part. Well, I always say this, and I actually had a buddy of mine ask me about this the other day. And, I said to him, it's all a pain in the ass until you get there. And then when you get there, I don't want to sound sappy or anything, but the coolest thing, all your high school friends are there, your college friends are there, other friends that you have through work are there. And you just look around, and this has never happened before, and it's never going to happen again for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I always tell somebody gave me that advice, don't miss that when you're, when everything's going on, just take a minute to appreciate that. That's the best advice I got. And then, having the honeymoon after is awesome. I let my wife get way more stressed out about the wedding than I did. I just figured the best way to handle all of that was 100% the path of least resistance, which was to say yes to everything and just keep writing checks.
That's what my wife's like, do you want to have chocolate cake? Yes. Do you want blue? Yes. Whatever you want, hon.
The problem is that then they come back to you, and then you're then you don't know about something 2 weeks later. We talked about this. Oh, we did? Really?
Right. Or should I have the bridesmaids wear that? I don't care. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Don't. So you're not engaged. You don't care. All right, let's go with chocolate. Well, I wanted the blueberry, so I just stay out of it. Well, tell
it's
me
not
what,
your, that's the other piece of advice. It's not your day, it's her day. Get out of the way.
All right.
Yeah, but you're not involved enough. Why aren't you involved enough? You get that too now.
Right.
Which is why you can't shut the conversation down, but you just want to kind of keep it as minimalist as possible.
Honey, I'm really busy at work. There's NFL free agency going on. I'm hearing about a trade. I got to be on the phone. You just do whatever you want. Whatever makes you happy. All right, so Tom Brady was doing a preview for a show on HBO.
One of the teams, they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Who's he talking about?
Who's the mother bleeper?
So I saw... Well, I think the easy way to go right here would be to say it was Jimmy Garoppolo, which I think is possible. I think it's definitely possible it was Jimmy. The other ones I'd look at as possibilities... the Saints and Breeze, maybe, Brady had it in the back of his head that Breeze was losing it a little bit. The Raiders with Derek Carr, the Rams with Jared Goff. I mean, there were a few teams where you look at them and say, it wasn't like there, and I think this is part of it's gotten rewritten a little bit. It wasn't like there was this fever pitch out here to sign Tom Brady. Really, at the end, there were two teams in it, and that was the Buccaneers, obviously, and the Chargers. And so, it couldn't have been those teams, but it had to be somebody else that Brady might have wanted to go to. So the Raiders make some sense to me. The Raiders make some sense to me. The Rams make some sense to me. The Niners make some sense to me. And of course, it'd be hard not to look at the Bears. Although, if you listen to the way that he said it, guys, and just pick the words apart a little bit, the Bears at that point weren't, like, quote unquote, sticking with Mitch Trubisky. They had just traded for Nick Foles, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
like, the whole verbiage of what he was saying there makes me think it probably wasn't Chicago, just because that wasn't what they were doing. I saw somebody else bring up, like, Fitzpatrick in Miami. Same thing there. I mean, Fitzpatrick was new. They weren't sticking with anybody. They were signing Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know?
All right, let's break this down here, okay? Let's do the odds. Okay, so it could be Chicago because, remember, no handshake from Brady to Foles, right?
Yep.
He might be calling Foles an effer, right? Okay, so what about Tennessee, Albert? Like, Ryan Tannehill getting all that money. That would have been a good spot for him. That's a good spot, right?
Scott Zolak came out yesterday on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, said, I'm telling you, it's Tannehill.
Okay, so I'm away right now, so I hadn't heard that. Tennessee makes a ton of sense, too. And here's the other thing. Like, in these sorts of situations, I'm big on, like, kind of picking apart the language, as you guys could hear with me talking about, like, the way that he said stick with him. Well, he's also using MF-er, right?
Yeah.
So who would he feel comfortable enough saying that to? Maybe his old buddy Mike Vrabel, right? So, you know, if he actually said that, like, who would he feel comfortable saying that to? If he did say it to the team, and maybe he didn't say it to the team itself, but if he did actually say that to another coach or another executive, I can't imagine there'd be any head coach or any general manager in the NFL that he would feel more comfortable using those words with than Mike Vrabel.
So, Albert, give us a refresher, because you mentioned in your last answer regarding the perception of Brady at the end of the Patriots. You know, Cap and I were and the crew, we were talking about this before the show. We were trying to remember what the perception was with Brady. Was there a thought around the league like, yeah, after this, he's got a year left, he's pretty much done? Was that the perception of Brady?
Yeah, I think there were a number of things that worked. You know, I think there's the natural thing, which is a quarterback that age is going to have a limited market to begin with. Because if you're in any sort of rebuild, you're not going to go get him, and he's not going to want to go there, right? Like, so, I mean, you can go through the league team by team and cut off a whole bunch of teams just, like, you know, with that premise. Then, on top of it, you know, like, where are places that he wouldn't go? Like, he wouldn't want to be there. And so then I think you look at those and you'd say, okay, we can chop off these teams. And I think that that was part of it, was that, you know, there was a sort of a narrow window for what he was looking for and which teams would actually pursue him that didn't have quarterbacks in place. You know, and so I think that's a big part of it. And then, yeah, I mean, I think there certainly was, you know, some feel that, like, over the, you know, last year in New England, that he had declined, that the Patriots had declined. And I think, you know, one thing that was a little difficult at the very end was to separate how much of it was Brady and how much of it was just the crumbling of the structure around him and what had won a Super Bowl before and what had wound up being gone. And, you know, I think now we probably have a pretty good answer to that, right? Like, Brady clearly could still play. Now, we can argue, is he top three? Is he top five? Is he, whatever you want to argue, but he clearly could still play. And you see what the Patriots look like without him on offense. And so, yeah, I mean, there was definitely some concern about his play down the stretch in 2019. And the question was how you went about separating that from everything else that was going on in New England. And I think you see pretty clearly, both by, you know, how the Patriots played in 2019 or in 2020, and then how they reacted to the way the team looked in 2020 and free agency in 2021. And you can see a huge part of the way he played was because the team around him wasn't very good in 2019, because the offense around him wasn't very good in 2019. It was just a little harder to see that at the time, because an easy place to point when you watch those guys play was to Brady's age.
So Mitchell Schwartz, I want to change the subject. Mitchell Schwartz is sitting out there as an unrestricted free agent. The Bears still need to have a security blanket somewhere out there on the offensive line for Tevin Jenkins. Does Chicago make sense for a guy like that? I know he's had a back injury. Probably isn't as expensive as he would have been normally.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for someone like that, there's going to be, you know, a real consideration, and Mitchell's taking care of his money. There's going to be a real consideration of retirement, you know, and, like, how badly do I want to do this? And, you know, is the right opportunity to be there for me? And then, you know, I think there's also how he feels coming out of the back surgery. And I can tell you this with him specifically, A big part of the whole thing for him was just that, was, well, do I want to sign somewhere early? Do I want to go find a place early? Or do I want to let my back heal and see how badly I really want to do this anymore? And so I don't know where he's at, like, right now, as far as whether or not he wants to play. But, back surgery for a big man is a big deal. Should the Bears go and look at something like that? Absolutely. And that makes me wonder, you know, because they're going to have to clear some cap space to do that sort of thing. You know, is that where you see maybe Nick Foles being traded? And, you know, you look at a team, and I know it's been discussed about there in Chicago, like the Jets, that has a young quarterback on board, and Zach Wilson, but doesn't really have a guy in the room who can be sort of the mentor for him. And Nick is and you guys know this, Nick's perfect for that, you know? Mm-hmm. So does it match up where, you know, maybe Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy say, if we can just get something, whatever it is, even if it's just, even if it's like a pick swap of day three picks, whatever, for Nick Foles, and move that money off of our books, maybe then we can look at, all right, like, let's go and get a little bit more help for our offensive line, which, you know, of course, would help Andy Dalton or help Justin Fields if he were to get in there at some point over the course of the next 6 months.
Are you surprised at the Eli Manning story that he's returning to the Giants as business ops guy? Does that surprise you?
No. I mean, I think he, you know, I really think, like, the Giants were always leaving the door open for this and sort of the way they operate. They wanted Eli to remain a part of the Giants family. And I think this is probably a pretty easy way for Eli to dip his toe in the pool, you know, and say to himself, like, how much do I really want to do this? Do I want to stay involved in football? So from the player's standpoint, jumping into that sort of role can kind of give you a taste of what front office life might be like. And, yeah, I've said this for a long time. Like, I think Peyton's plan when he retired, and Peyton Manning, I'm talking, not Eli now, was, I want to run a team. I want to be a John Elway someday. He winds up retiring. I think he liked retirement a little bit more than he thought he would. And so he's been patient about looking at different opportunities to be in the front office. But I'm sure for Eli, hearing his brother talk about doing that sort of thing brought about a little intrigue on his part. So now he gets to take a look at this. And the one thing I would not rule out down the line with that family, there's always been these whispers that they could eventually be part of an ownership group. Now, you know, there are some natural ones out there. If the Saints were ever to become, you know, if the Saints were ever to be for sale, if the Titans were ever to be for sale.
Bears.
Yeah.
Bears.
But the idea that they could be part of an ownership group, it sort of, doesn't it, like, sort of line up with, like, these guys always taking top dollar? Like, if you look at it, like, over the course of Peyton and Eli's career, those guys never left a dime on the table, right? And so you look at, like, the how often do you see those guys turn down endorsements, you know? Like, I think there's always been this perception in the NFL, you know, behind closed doors, that the Manning family was eventually going to want to get into ownership. I don't think they've got the capital to buy a team on their own, but could they be part of, you know, some sort of group that goes in and buys a team? I certainly think that's possible, and if that happened, it wouldn't be surprising at all, I think, to anybody if Peyton and Eli wanted to get involved in football ops.
So, Albert, in lieu of asking you what's on your phone, I just want to ask you about the NFL and the way things happen when it comes to moving stadiums. Like, Cap and I have been on this story about how the Bears are interested in going to the suburbs, Arlington Heights. That spot, that land's going to be available at the end of the racing season, right?
Correct.
All right, so how does this work, Albert? Okay, like, you know, I'm sure the Bears would like to move in a place where there's a dome so you can have your Final Four concerts, WrestleMania, all that, right? How much of an influence is the National Football League in that if they need a little help to move along? Could the NFL help that happen?
To get out of a lease.
Yes. Can they do that? How instrumental are they in that?
They can help, you know, and we've seen that before. Like, so I would say, you know, and I think all you got to do is look to Los Angeles. And, you know, Stan Kroenke, who has money coming out of his ears, got a $500 million, you know, loan from the league, interest free, to get SoFi Stadium where he wanted it to be. Now, think about that, guys. Like, we're not talking about, like, a $500 million on a $1.3 billion stadium. He needed a $500 million to complete a $6 billion stadium. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not like, I mean, I'm sure there are some places where they could have cut some corners, maybe a little less like art, you know, like inside the stadium or whatever, where they could have like gotten that tab down to $5.5 billion. But it was important to the league that they had a first-class stadium in a major market, right? Like they knew they could not screw up L.A. Jerry Jones took a similar approach and got public funding. And I know it's going to be way tougher in Chicago than it would be in Dallas, but got public funding to make, you know, AT&T Stadium what it is and make it sort of a landmark. And so I'll say this. You know, I know what the mayor of Chicago has said about the Bears not really moving. I think, like, give me some of whatever she's smoking if she doesn't think, like, an NFL team is going to follow the money into the suburbs. I mean, we've seen teams move across the country. How far is Arlington Heights from Soldier Field?
Probably without heavy traffic, probably 35 minutes.
How many miles?
Oh, I'm going to say, what, 35?
Yeah, I'm looking it up now.
35, 30.
Okay. Okay, so if the perfect
about 30 miles, 42 minutes with traffic.
There you go.
Let's say there is a perfect $3 billion stadium, $4 billion stadium that they could put there. Like, why don't you guys answer this to me? What's the percentage chance that the NFL is not going to help that happen? The NFL is going to stand in the way, that the NFL is going to want them to stay in downtown Chicago.
1%.
Well, that's why we asked you, because the Soldier Field is the smallest stadium in the league. And this is an opportunity to put a lid on a stadium and have multiple events, which you cannot do at Soldier Field.
I mean, if you could do I'm a purist, so I want the Big Ten championship game to be in Chicago because I love that part of football. Like, I love the elements and everything else. And in a certain way, I think it would kind of suck if, like, I mean, what would that be? Like, three of the four teams in the NFC North are now playing under roofs.
Sure.
Like, that would kind of suck. You know what I mean? But at the same time, like, you think about, like, the amount of money that would mean. And, I mean, oh, by the way, like, you think the NFL might like the idea of having Super Bowls in Chicago?
Yeah.
In the third biggest city in the country. You know, there's just like a lot of appeal to it. And the NFL tried to make it happen for the Jets, you know, in New York. They tried to give them a dome stadium on the west side of Manhattan. You guys may remember that. That was part of the Olympic effort because they wanted to put Super Bowls in New York. And so my point is, like, when you look at, like, the amount of money that went into L.A. and Dallas, and then the effort to get Super Bowls to New York, add all of that together, and I would think that the NFL is going to do whatever they can to help the Bears find a stadium solution, whether that is on the Soldier Field site or 30 miles outside the city in Arlington Heights.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. There he is. That's Albert Breer, SI.com, Monday morning quarterback.
It's happening.
It is. There we go.
That's why I asked the question.
It's a great one.
The NFL will move heaven and earth if they can do that to get a new stadium in Chicago.
Done.
Just for multiple things. Done. Super Bowl in Chicago? Take that.
Lori, take that. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So who do you call an MF-er?
You.
But you say it with love better.
I do. See, the reason why we bring this up is because, let's go back to the Tom Brady sound, right?
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
So that's kind of funny, right? That's in the shop, so it's like him, Chelsea Handler, LeBron,
right.
On HBO talking about this, like, you're sticking with that mother bleeper.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother.
Now, there's a way to be able. Now, Danny, you tell me. Like, there's a way that you had the inflection of MRF-er, right?
Hey, mother.
Yes. That's a day.
There's like a loving MF-er. Like, right. Hey, what's up, hoodie? You're my MF-er.
Right.
And then there's the way that I use it, where like that guy is such an MF-er.
Right.
Right.
So when you heard Brady, was that more of a friendly? You're sticking with that. To me, it's dismissive. I think from that standpoint, he was just like, man, you sticking with that MF-er.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother.
I felt that was dismissed. Like, oh God, like it's me. I'm the GOAT. You sticking with that MF-er? Now here's the thing. We're trying to figure out whether or not he's talking about someone he likes or someone he does not like. That's why we had the odds of, is he talking about Garoppolo?
I thought it was Garoppolo.
And now, again, let's confirm. Danny, they're friends or not friends?
I don't think they're friends. I think they had a nice working relationship. But let's not forget, Garoppolo got traded because Tom Brady went to Robert Kraft and said, listen, I can't have my replacement looking over my shoulder. I'm the GOAT. I'm the best there ever was. I know Bill Belichick's ready to get this guy in there. You got to move him out. So I don't know how really tight they
are. Is that really true, though?
That'd
be like Michael Jordan going, yeah, I don't want this two-guard here because I'm looking over my shoulder. You're Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but you know the great ones are always, like, have that chip on their shoulder and that they need to be the man, the alpha dog, and they don't want to be challenged.
You mean like Scott Burrell?
Yeah, I mean.
Scott Burrell! What's up, Scott Burrell? No, I got him. Come on, Scott Burrell. You mean that two guard, that guy that's behind him in the rotation?
Yeah, it's just like he's Tom Brady. I don't care who's sitting behind him.
But you know what, though? You know what fuels him is competition or feeling slighted. What do you think fueled Jordan? He was making up stuff for him to get fueled for a game. You saw this on the documentary.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're going after people that's not really going after you. So there's different ways to go through the MF-er, right? Someone says to me, hey, what's it like working with Cap every morning? It's like, man, that crazy MF-er. Man, he's going to be pitching tonight. Or this guy's going to be playing baseball in the 60-over league. That's a friendly MF-er.
Correct.
Right?
Exactly.
Now, so that's, again, friendly, right? But there's different ways to be like that MF-er. To me, it's the way you say it. And I think that it could have been Tannehill. You got to choose Tannehill. And I can understand if you felt that way. Who's Ryan Tannehill, really? You ran the football a million times with Derrick Henry, right? You got to choose Ryan Tannehill over me? And you heard from Albert Breer pretty drawing the lines to, well, his guy was Vrabel because they played together with the Patriots.
Correct.
That could be too.
Right. So did he say, you're going to pick
one of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother.
Okay, so did he say to Vrabel, you're sticking with that MF-er over me?
Or Danny, Bears. Now, I can understand that reaction. Like, that MF-er?
Mitchell
Trubisky?
But they had already gotten Foles, which Albert made a very good point.
Well,
so they weren't sticking with either guy.
The guy that he did not shake hands with, Foles, correct?
Correct.
Okay. See, if it's the Foles one, see, I want it so badly to be Mitch. If it's the Foles one, it's You're the awful. Angry MF-er, right? Because, like, he doesn't shake Foles' hands. He clearly doesn't like Nick Foles that much. So if it's Foles, it's more of an angry, you're sticking with that MF-er? But if it's the Mitch one, it's kind of like a loving mocking, like, you're sticking with that MF-er over me? Tom Brady? I so want it to be Mitch, and that's why I'm hearing the more friendlier MF-er in that.
I would hate for that to be the Bears. But here's the thing, though. That's why I asked Albert, what was the perception of Brady? Because it was a refresher for all of us. Because I wasn't saying on my Under the Hood show at night, I didn't say, you know, the Bears really should look at Tom Brady. I didn't say that because I thought he was done. I didn't think he had another couple of years left in him. But then he chose Tampa. I said, you take that moribund franchise, that nonsense,
to the Super Bowl and win it.
Like, but they're just a trash organization. Bears are better than Tampa before Brady got there. Look at all the losing that Tampa did. Like, yeah, Gruden, you know, you got the Super Bowl championship, but between those times, Cap, they weren't very good.
No.
So that's why it surprised me that Brady even went to Tampa. Like, you're choosing them? Are you sure you can lift them up? He did.
So if it was the Bears, if he was talking about Mitch or Nick, do you think the Super Bowl would have been ours? Would we be the Super Bowl champs? That one move, him going to Tampa, made them Super Bowl champs because of all the players that it brought with them and the offense that he was able to run. Does that mean that we would have been the Super Bowl champs right now?
They wouldn't have. The Bears wouldn't have given Brady the autonomy to bring guys in.
Correct.
Because the Bears are smarter than the room.
Or would they? Maybe the reason they're sticking with that MF-er is because Matt Nagy didn't want to give all the control to Tom Brady. When Tom Brady comes in, you're not the mastermind anymore.
You're out of the way.
You're sitting shotgun to the greatest ever. So maybe they were, quote-unquote, sticking with that MF-er because Matt Nagy's like, oh, hold on. I'm a guru. I'm a genius.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, you don't think the Bears picked up the phone and asked about Tom Brady?
Oh, I think they did. And I think they were told, no, he wants to go where it's warm. I think it could be Tennessee. It could be Miami.
I think the Giants are
San
in play.
San Francisco.
I think the Giants are in play, too. Daniel Jones or Tom Brady? Seriously?
They had cast their lot with Daniel Jones.
Push him to the back. Put the goat in. Seriously. If you had your druthers, you'd take Daniel Jones over
No,
Brady?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't think the Giants were in play.
All I know is if it's the Bears, I'm going to hit the roof. Really. If we find out through back channels that the Bears like, no, I'll hard pass on Tom Brady. I mean, you have – but here's the thing. Because the Bears are the smartest guys in the room, like Ryan Pace has to say, well, Tom, we'll bring you in. What would you like? I would curtsy to him. Brady,
correct.
What would you like? Well, whatever you want.
Well, it was right? Like when Denver went and got Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
They basically said – here's the playbook. Design it. Whatever you want.
Whatever you want, man. See, that's my problem, Danny. The Bears are so smart. If Tom Brady, the greatest that we've ever seen, would say, well, here's the stuff we run.
Right.
you're going to tell that to Tom Brady?
No.
That's like Jordan in his prime. Is like, hey, Mike, I know that you're great, but we like to run the old box and one here, and we like the diamond press.
No, we're running the triangle, and that's it.
Landon Cox says we run red.
Red.
It's like, come on, man. Come on, man. Yeah. Oh, I hate that. I'd hate for that to be the Bears. I'm just hoping it's just like, you know, like he's like a Tennessee, Garoppolo, that. Because if it's the Bears, man.
Yeah, I think it's Tennessee or San Francisco.
Man.
I think it's San Francisco, personally. Because Tannehill was coming off a hell of a year. They paid him a lot of money.
They ran the ball.
They did. But he had a really good year. They got to the AFC title game.
I get it.
So I'm thinking it's San Francisco. That's my bet. Shot or no shot. It's always fun. It's next.
Take that.
Cap. J-Hook.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's why I say immigration.
Shot. No shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
you made my shot. Boy. Shot or no shot brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse to register your account. Danny, Hoodie and I were just reading an account of Tristan Thompson going out and partying and what their idea of having a good time is and what the rest of the world is.
I think, Danny, you may have seen that story, right? Actually, it's like every other day, Tristan Thompson steps out on Chloe. There's always something, right, with that
guy. But then
guy.
She denies it. She's like, no, that never would happen. He loves me. He's faithful. He's honored.
So they've now broken up. Oh, he went to a party in Bel Air. Ask Hoodie what the house. House has got to be what, $30 million?
It's unbelievable. You got to show that to Danny. That house is amazing in Bel Air.
Oh, my God. Danny, it's got to be $30, $40 million house.
Off the lake? Is that a little stream, little lake off there?
Something.
Yeah.
And
moat.
He showed up late because he had been with Chloe and their daughter the day before. Oh. He got there late at like midnight, pounded shots of some very expensive tequila. Are you a tequila guy, Danny?
No, not at all.
Yeah, he was drinking.
Harry Tynowitz ruined it for me because all we ever drank was Cuervo.
Ultra luxurious De Leon tequila shots while swigging Moet champagne before.
What kind of champagne?
What is it? Moet? Moet? I don't know.
In the hood, it's Moet. Yes, go ahead.
Before repeatedly grabbing the bottom of a female guest. He showed up all pressed, looking great, in a cool shirt and black leather pants. Oh. He disappeared with three women into a bedroom. 30 minutes later, came out all disheveled. Drank a little more and left at 4 a.m.
Jeez. Rock star. Not even a... more of a rock star than basketball star, correct?
Yo, no question. He's there with Drake, P. Diddy, Chris Brown. They're all having a... That house has got a... Hoodie. I mean, you can land a plane at that thing.
That's a beautiful crib.
Jeez.
Beautiful crib.
Unbelievable.
That MF-er.
Anyway, Danny.
The Kardashian curse, gentlemen.
And by the way, Danny's got the golf look today with his hair.
He does.
He's still on vacation.
I got to pull back out of my face.
Yes.
This is the serious work look. Like,
no, you
we're getting down to business.
No, you haven't looked like that since the golf outing.
Yeah, that's Matthew McConaughey kicking back look. That is
golf outing, Danny. That's when it's time to get out here. Come on, Dad. He's got the man. But I saw him wrap it up. It's like, all right, I get this out of my eyes so I can see the ball.
I couldn't hit the golf ball. The hair was in my eyes. And since that day, that was the first time I did that. And since that day, I kind of enjoyed it. It stays out of my eyes.
God, I wish I could do that just for a day. Again, have all my hair back. Just for a day. I like being bald, but just for a day.
I do it all the time. Go ahead, Danny.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk some sports. Tonight, we have the NBA draft lottery. If the Bulls land a pick in the top four of the draft, they retain the selection. If they draw a pick outside of the top four, they owe that pick in the draft to the Magic due to the trade for Vooch. The Bulls have plenty of holes to fill this offseason. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, getting that top four pick tonight, which is 20% chance, is make or break for the Bulls' future and this rebuild?
That's a no shot. That's not make or break. I'm tired of young players on this team.
Right.
if I get into the money of this lottery, I trade that pick if I can get a veteran. Like somebody can help me today.
If you tell me that they're picking top two, they get lucky, beyond lucky tonight, and they get either Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga or Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State, who are the two best point guards in this draft.
Cunningham will be first in the draft, I think.
Yeah, I'll be close. Him or Suggs.
Yeah.
One of them. If you tell me I'm getting one of those two guys tonight, that is a franchise-changing moment because I now don't have to go spend $23 million on Lonzo Ball. If I get one of those two.
Don't pinch the pennies now.
I'm taking that money then and using it on something else. I can go get a wing guy with my cap room because I'm drafting my point guard of the future.
You don't want a veteran point guard to lead the team now? You want a point guard of the future? You sure you want that?
I'm not ready to win next year anyway. I want one of those two point guards.
Okay.
I love both of them. Cunningham and Suggs, oh, goodness. Now, the Mobley kid from
USC. Yeah.
He's really good. Really good.
He's a seven-footer in a project.
It's just another project type guy who's really talented. But if I get my point guard, yeah, I'm in.
Jalen Suggs would be that guy from a great program of Gonzaga who's disciplined, locked in. He's 6'4", tweener.
A lot of people say he is a Jason Kidd clone.
Oh, God. That's a problem. You're talking about basketball?
Basketball.
Oh, yes. Very good. Yes, very good. Yes,
not
yes.
The opposite. Danny.
Gentlemen, Bob Nightingale reported yesterday that our White Sox are looking for a replacement for Nick Madrigal. They're engaging in trade talks with the D-backs for Eduardo Escobar. Escobar, he gets $7.5 million in the final year of his contract. He's hitting .240 with 15 homers, 45 RBI, and a .743 OPS. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, this move would make your White Sox significantly better.
I'm going to say shot only if he's healthy. He's now having an MRI done on his quad. He has a strained quad. I don't need another injured guy on the south side. Like Adam Frazier with the Pirates, that scene in Moneyball. Hey, Mark, send Ricardo Rincon over. I don't want him pitching against me tonight. Like, I want that scene where he calls up Ben Cherington. I don't want Adam Frazier hitting against me tonight. Send him over to the visitors' locker room. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want.
I would kind of balk at that until we see what that MRI is. The Sox have enough injuries, as Cap just mentioned, so I'd probably look elsewhere, but we'll see how that MRI comes out. But there's other choices for this Sox team. One thing you know, Danny, is that the Sox need to be able to have an extra bat or two. If, say, for instance, Robert isn't ready, but Aloy is, you just need more offense. If you don't think the Sox need offense, look at this last series against the Houston Astros, and we'll see what happens here moving forward. But offense is something that has to happen for this team. It's a good team. It's a top five team in baseball, but offense is going to be the soup of the day. Soup would be good right now.
Delicious.
Since I saw my breath this morning, thank you, Tracy Butler. 51 degrees. I saw my breath in June. How about that?
Not good.
Coming off the porch.
I put the heat on in the car.
You did?
So did I.
You did what?
I cut the heat on in the car.
Cut the heat on.
Yeah. Hey, on June 22nd, if you need to use the heat, there's a problem.
Yeah, I cut the light on this morning and went with the little remote start. And I'm like, and I left the heater turned all the way up in the car.
I was surprised. Yeah, I turned it on just for a second just to get the chill out of the car. I was like, what is going on here? Came out this morning, the first breath. I could see it like it's like February.
It's like you're smoking a joint,
come
Danny.
On. What?
Whoa. Wow. Cap. All right.
This MRF-er.
All right. Dave Chappelle, gentlemen, joined the Foo Fighters at a packed Madison Square Garden to cover Radiohead's Creep. This got a mixed reaction from the crowd. Take a listen to Dave Chappelle. So, gentlemen, this started a very heated debate between J.R. Strauss and I this morning while we were doing our show prep. I asked you guys, shot or no shot, if you paid your hard-earned dollars to see the Foo Fighters, you would be pissed off to be hearing Dave Chappelle sing a Radiohead song at that concert.
Well, let me ask you a question, just so for clarity. Was Dave performing that day, or he just came up on stage?
He was just there. He was there to see the Foo Fighters. He was in New York for whatever reason. Obviously, he's a cool guy. Dave Grohl's an awesome guy. Bring him out on stage and let's sing Creep.
Is that the one reason why you go to the concert? You just want to, is that your one? Is that your number one song?
Well, it's not even their song, though, is the problem. He's doing a cover song at a Foo Fighters show. See, for me, the debate was J.R. said that he would be pissed if he went to see the Foo Fighters.
Oh, you're
that
better
house.
Than that, J.R.
Stop. Said,
it's part of the entertainment.
Listen, I said it's a once. That's probably never going to happen again.
Yeah.
So you're one of the few people that's there for it. Enjoy
great.
The moment.
Well said.
Yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely awesome. You show up to be entertained and you go, God, we saw an awesome concert, and we got Dave Chappelle doing a song. Yes.
Yeah, because he's got such a great history of singing.
Because he's Dave Chappelle, for Christ's sake.
Oh, my God.
You want to hear me talk about soccer? I could do it, but I know nothing about it.
Yeah, you're actually not at Dave Chappelle's level. I know you produce Stern. But...
Wow.
There you go.
Today.
Just being honest.
All I know is that when I go to see a musician perform, I want to see that musician perform. If I want to see Dave Chappelle, I'll go buy a ticket to see Dave Chappelle. Now, bring out another musician who can add something or give me something to the song.
Stop being
I'm in.
Perfectionist about music.
Come on. For a guy that loves value, there's added value. No one knew that Dave Chappelle was going to go up and sing. He probably had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth just singing along with the crowd. You heard the crowd being along with it as well.
He'd be the same guy when the Pearl Jam concert was going on that I was at. I know Danny was there when Ernie Banks came up and led them in Someday We'll Go All the Way. What's Ernie doing up there? He's soiling the song.
Ernie.
It's a great experience, man. You had Ernie effing Banks up there.
You see that Ernie Banks. Okay, so give me the Dave Chappelle to New York. Is Ernie Banks to Chicago? Is that what we're doing here?
We're just saying that that's added value.
Exactly.
No one knew that Dave Chappelle is going to be out there and singing a song out there. He's probably had a cigarette sitting on a stool singing with the fans.
Danny,
that's no big deal.
Remember at the Pearl Jam concert I saw you at when they brought the Sano family and Jose Cardinal, and it was 2016, and I got tears rolling down my face, and they're playing Someday We'll Go All the Way. I didn't go, hey, get that family off the stage. I want to hear Vedder. No, it was the whole experience, JR. You're better than that.
Cap, tell me about music some more, please.
I'll give you a lesson.
Oh, a lesson.
A lesson.
This mother...
His mother. This MF-er thinks, because he produced Stern, that he knows music.
That's enough of that.
Bill and Wendy on your business card.
Oh, boy. How about that?
And mother.
Jeez.
All right.
Danny.
I can't follow that up. I mean, Cap's just firing on Strauss today.
My God. My God. What are you, me? You can't do that.
We play a really cool game. I'm sure the afternoon show will steal it. It's called Florida versus Illinois.
Abdallah,
next.
Cap is firing today. Abdallah!
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Rolling on, it's Cap Jay Hood, ESPN 1000. Don't forget, Tony Two Chains, Anthony Rizzo will join us at 9:35.
Yep.
Absolutely. I want his thoughts on Javi Baez and leading the league as a team in the last 5 years by a lot, by 11, is outs on the bases.
Are you sure you can ask that? Did you check and see if you can ask that? Okay.
Just asking.
I asked what I want to ask.
Oh. I don't think that's the case.
Except for vaccines.
Bad mother.
Here he comes, Danny Puffy Chested. I'm David Kaplan. I ask what I want to ask.
Except the best vaccine.
Well, I asked it. Didn't end well.
It's like the big puffy chested David Kaplan.
Next thing.
In the power shift. I ask what I want to ask.
Except the vaccine.
What happened? Thought you could ask him. Well, I mean, we got parameters.
That didn't go well.
You know, my friend and your friend and our friend, Danny Zetterman, he goes away from the show for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But he deserves it because he works with us. And there's times where I look over there and Danny's ready to just go home because of this show. Just ready to just pack it up, get his little zip bag and his coat and just wants to leave.
Right.
But so he did leave this time. But he left for 10 days, 2 weeks. He went to Florida. So give us the idea now. You're in Florida. How different is it where you're in Florida to Chicago?
It's funny that you introduced it with vaccine talk. I don't want to get into the vaccine and stuff of that. But, like, it is literally going to Florida like you're going to another country that did not have COVID, never knew what COVID was, and they are no longer, like, trying to avoid COVID. Like, our first day down there, we went into a grocery store. It's called Publix. That's their Jewels. We went into Publix. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have masks on. We've got our three little kids with masks on. Literally, the store is packed. Not a single mask in sight. From that moment forward, we did not see another human being in the state of Florida wearing a mask till we got to the airport to go home.
Nobody.
And here's the amazing thing about it. I actually, like, the first couple minutes, I was uncomfortable and I was like, I don't know. I'm going to take my mask off because I don't want to be the guy everyone's staring at. Mm-hmm. The second I took my mask off, now I'm having a hard time putting the mask back on. And when we got to Chicago, I had to go to the grocery store and stock up. And I walked in to the Trader Joe's by my house, maskless. And everybody looked at me like, this is the jerk not wearing a mask. It was like a total 180. And I literally, I bleep you not, turned around, went to my car and got my mask because I felt like I was that guy.
See,
and it's the same COVID here as there. But for some reason here, we're still so scared.
You see, Danny was still in Florida mode, like, what a great vacation. Let me just go into the, Now people are looking at you like you're the crazy one.
But I was at the grocery store over the weekend, and there's a lot of people not wearing masks in the grocery store now. CDC, they had a sign on the window of the store. It said, we follow CDC guidelines. If you are vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask.
Oh, I certainly could have been maskless in the store. They wouldn't have had a problem with it, but I would have been the only person maskless in the store. And I literally felt everyone looking at me, and I don't like everyone looking at me.
I understand.
I get it.
I'm not looking at you now.
But, like, what is mask etiquette now? Like, are we still masking because everyone's masking? Or are we not masking because we don't have to mask and we have trust in the vaccine if we got it, unlike Anthony Rizzo?
I think it's both. I think you just put it in the back pocket just in case. I always have one just in case. I'm not putting it on necessarily, but it's always in the back pocket.
I actually got a new one. I got a Rolling Stones one.
Yeah, keep that on. So, that's good for the show.
Yeah, it'd be great.
By the way, how's your shopping for kettlebells? How's that going?
It's good.
Okay. You're shopping for kettlebells now while we're on the air?
It's on his mind.
I was at break, yeah.
No, during the show. But I want to know if you got a deal.
What kind of kettle were you going? Amazon?
Yeah.
The best kettlebells are at Onnit. O-N-N-I-T.
Yeah, that's your big sponsor.
Yeah. No, they don't sponsor me.
Oh, I thought.
But they can. Right.
I remember in the 80s, remember? Remember Onnit on TV? It was just off, that was on. Just,
huh? No, there was that box you'd get on top called On TV.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I got that wrong.
Wasn't that channel 44?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I saw Porky's with a squiggly line.
Correct.
Got half a breast out of that.
Correct. Exactly. So
look at JR.
So Danny, let me ask you a question. When you go in the Publix down there,
JR.
The Publix is like a jewel, not like a Whole Foods, right?
Jewels.
Publix is their jewels.
Publix is their jewels. Okay. So you go in there, you got the kids, and you guys look around going, there's no one wearing a mask here. Like you did here going out to get your mask from the car, did at any point you go,